Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, y'all. I am Glenn the Geek from a monsoon here in Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings watching a beautiful sunrise in sunny Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning for April 12th, 2011, episode 117. Good morning, horse world.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah.
Today is to tell me.
It's Tuesday.
I can't believe it. I just don't believe it.
It's like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is very, very wet and windy here in Lexington, Kentucky. If you hear the rain beating on my window and hear a lot of noise in the studio this morning, that's because we had 3 inches of rain yesterday or last night, and looking for another inch this morning. So if I don't float away, I might be the whole show. And I wanted to mention that this episode is sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health.
I got a question. Okay,
yeah,
what?
That's okay. Hey, I got to ask you, did you see this? And it was on Facebook, or somebody sent it to me. I don't remember which. It's a guy spent, I got to tell you, he must have spent a frickin' year. He put 5 seconds, every number one pop single together since 1950. So that's 60 years worth of pop singles, and it's, what, 12 a year or more. So it's every number one pop single since 1950. Well, he only got part one done, which is up to like the early 80s. But it is really cool. I had it playing this morning. By the way, for up to the 80s, the first part of this is 46 minutes, and it's only 5 seconds each.
Oh, wow.
But he did a great job putting this together. I don't think we're going to get in too much trouble here because it's only 5 seconds each. I'll play a little bit of... I don't know. I'm just going to pick a timeline here. I think this is in the 70s somewhere. Here's just a little bit of it.
The two of us need no more.
Show up hard, swimming across that thing with both hands holding my feet.
And it goes on like that for 46 minutes.
That's incredible. That goes to show you that, pretty much back then, it was one hit single a week, I guess, 52 a year. I guess that's how often they have them, right? I mean, you can have one once a week. Then I don't know. That's a lot of work. That guy was bored. I'm going
yeah,
to tell you
that. Yeah, really bored.
That guy was really bored. Yeah, I don't know.
He definitely spent a lot of time doing that. I'm going to put a link to it in our show notes or on Facebook, actually. But I'm going to put the link to it after the show's over this morning because I don't want people starting to listen to it because it's one of those addictive things you listen to. And then I found myself going back to little segments and saying, oh, what's that one? And you're trying to remember the name of the song. So I'll put that after we're done with the show this morning. Otherwise, we won't have any listeners.
Yeah. And again, I didn't really recognize many of the songs you played this morning because I'm not 70. However, once they get the version number two, which is the 80s, 90s, and the 2000s, then I will know every single one. But, hey, let's find out from Jennifer. Jennifer, I know you have been working very hard booking a show today that is completely full and actually is going to be really you know, it's going to be a great show. Going to be a great show, everybody.
Great show, absolutely.
Yeah, so what do we have today?
We've got coming up today, we're going to be chatting with Tammy Sarantz, Horse Radio Network's very own Tammy Sarantz. She's going to be calling in to give us an update on what's going on over there in ACSA. It sounds like there is a new equestrian-themed reality show on the horizon, and she's going to tell us all about it. And then we're going to go to Steve Maxwell's update on the equestrian scene, all things collegiate. And considering the hour of the morning, we can be pretty much guaranteed that no actual collegiates will hear it live.
So
if you're
true.
A collegiate, you want to tune in, you're going to have to listen to the recorded version. And then after that, we're going to go to Horse and Country TV across the pond, a new segment for us here on the Horse Radio Network. They're going to be giving us an update on the hottest, the greatest, and the most unique going on over there in Horse and Country TV. They've got a lot of great programming, and the listeners of the Horses in the Morning show will be right on the edge, as usual.
And for those collegiates that are not listening, Jennifer, I would like for you to restate that they're not listening because they're currently in class. They are studying hard right now and working for that degree that their parents are spending tons of money on. So don't say that they're don't give the impression that they're sleeping through it.
No, not at all. No. They've all gone to the study center and or library extra early in the morning to get there to get a good seat. Yeah, they've left their iPod in the bottom drawer of their dresser where it's collecting dust. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I think you're right. Glenn, I want to go ahead and do my daily whinny because I'm really excited. But you go first.
All right, let's do it. My daily whinny is to Alan of the Western Radio Show. Happy birthday, my friend! It's his birthday today on April the 12th, and he's like 112 years old. And so happy birthday, Alan.
Yeah, you know, he can call me an Oompa Loompa all he wants, but he is like, you know, father time. He is an old, old, old man. I don't know how he gets out. He's probably still in bed because his bones are aching right now. He's, you know, so exhausted and creaky. So there, Alan, take that. You knew I had to get back at him for something. This is the perfect thing. Perfect
yep,
thing.
Yep, it works.
Well, my daily whinny goes out to horseandman.com. Now, for those of you who have never heard of horseandman.com, it's some lady, I don't know, writes a blog. And it is a blog about anything horse-related, and there's a lot of places where you can donate to rescues, and she profiles different horses and different places. But the blog post that I'm giving her the daily whinny for is marestare.com. She has introduced me to the world of marestare.com. Have you guys ever heard of marestare.com?
No, never heard of it.
Oh, my God. Put your boots on, because this is going to be your new internet addiction. What marestare.com is, and for those of you listening, you've got to go to it. It is literally live webcams, okay, that are currently in the stalls of pregnant mares. And you can watch, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of farms have these webcams in their horses' stalls. And so the benefit to you is you get to sit there and you get to watch a live foaling. You get to, like, kind of monitor cameras and look them up. And then the benefit to the people that have the camera in there is the second that mare starts foaling, you're supposed to call. Hey, your mare's foaling.
Really?
What was that? Yes, it's awesome. You can.
Are you sure this isn't like April Fool's joke?
No, this is real. Go to it, marestare.com. There's a farm called, I was looking through all the farm names trying to decide which one I was going to look at, and I thought they had half-ass acres. And I was like, half-ass acres, I got to click on that one. They're mini donkeys. Mini donkeys. That's the greatest farm name ever. Acres. So, horseandman.com. Thank you, Daily Whitney, to you for teaching me all about marestare.com. You guys, are you on it yet?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm waiting for the first camera to come up here. Oh, there's a. Oh, this one already had a baby.
Oh,
I'm at
you
Belcher
found one.
Quarter Horses, and looks like this baby looks pretty. Well, they got a halter on it, so it can't be that new. So that one had this
now,
baby, Belcher Quarter Horses.
Yeah, if you go to horseandman.com, she did some screenshots from a live mini donkey birth. Actually, I don't know what farm it was, but you can kind of see kind of what goes on. You can watch, and she kind of goes along and describes what's happening in each picture. So that's horseandman.com if you're bored. Now, I'm sure none of you are bored at work, and you're all working very hard, just like the collegiates are in school right now. So if this is something to do after work because you will kill lots of time.
I wonder why we never heard of this one before. There's like a ton of cameras on here.
I know. We got to get them on. We got to talk to them about this
whole
Mayor Stare.
Yeah, Jennifer, try and get a hold of mayorstare.com and see if we can get them on here.
I mean, what a cool idea. What an awesome idea. You don't even have to watch your cameras anymore because there's 10,000 people sitting there staring at your mare about to foal. Now, of course, if you go in that stall, knowing horse people, if you walk in that stall and you are doing something wrong, every single one of those people could call you up and be like, what are you doing? Don't pull. Let her have some time. And then somebody else has an opinion like, what are you doing? Get in there and help. So, yeah, you do definitely subject yourself, I think, to some potential torture. But
now they have something. They have a barn alarm on the little camera thing, low alert and high alert. I'm not exactly sure. Do you know what that means?
I don't know, but maybe that's them telling you how close they are to foaling.
Oh, maybe.
There's got to be a way. I don't know. I haven't looked that hard at it. I was just clicking on different farms, looking at their cameras.
I know. This is a long list, too. Wow. And it looks like they're green buttons and red buttons for when the cameras are online.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, this is going to be like the coolest website ever for killing time at work. If you're in a cubicle right now, go ahead and log on to mayorstare.com. Watch a live birth while you're sitting there working. if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah. You don't get too grossed out like me. Yeah, so that's fun. I've never heard of that one. That's really cool. We'll have to put a link to that on Facebook, too. Wow. That's really neat, Jamie. Never heard of that one before.
I thought that was pretty cool. And you know what also is very cool, Glenn? And I'm going to give you and Jackie Baker a little shout-out. She went to Equine Affair and did a best of, like, the top 10 list for Equine Affair. How on earth did you end up in her top 10 list of Affair in 2011?
Thursday night we went to dinner with Frankie and Sandy Lovato of the Equisizer. He's been on our show numerous times. Ex-jockey Frankie. And we're going to have him on the show to talk about something that's very, very funny. But we got chatting, and Frankie, we're going to have him on the show to talk about – I don't want to give it away. He's going to talk about his first horse ever. Frankie was a winning jockey, rode like 16,000 races in his career. Do you realize until last year Frankie never owned a horse? And
I didn't know that.
And he does now, and we're going to get him on to talk about his horse. But he spoils his horse rotten, and I kind of like to spoil my horse rotten. Because we're horse husbands and that's what we do. And so that became a whole topic of conversation. And we decided we're going to label it unnatural horsemanship and we're going to start our own movement.
That's a great idea. Oh my gosh.
For us horse husbands out there who like to do everything wrong, we like to do it all the wrong way. We like to feed them too much, all that stuff. So, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to call it unnatural horsemanship.
Yeah, but this totally doesn't answer the question as to why you made the top 10 for Jackie Baker regarding horses.com.
It's because we went on and on that night about it, and it was hilarious, and we were laughing. We were laughing the whole night. So I think she just enjoyed the banter about unnatural horsemanship and the new book we're going to write.
Okay. That's a brilliant idea, actually. That's almost as good as mayorstare.com. You're going to make millions.
That's right. I think we will. The horse husband's version. Anyway, we got our first guest on here. Let's get her on. And this is Tammy, who is the host of the Western Radio Show. She's probably just waking up and coming on to tell us about the ACTA, America's Favorite Horse Trail or Trail Horse Competition. Good morning, Tammy. Are you out of your jammies yet?
No, a better question would be, Tammy, are you up? And
Tammy,
you know what?
You
my
up?
Horses want to thank you this morning, Glenn, because they got fed probably an hour early because of you.
Now, you were on your way, actually, to the National Shooting Championships in Mississippi, right?
I am there, yes. I am in one of the rows in my pajamas feeding my horses breakfast. So, but, yeah, I just came from the auditions of Mississippi in, where was I, Perkinson, Mississippi. It was really, really pretty down there. I had so much fun.
Tell us about, now tell us, remind us first, what is the competition? And then tell us about your weekend.
We are giving $100,000 away to America's favorite trail horse. We are going to 23 audition sites across the country, and we are taking the top 100 to Austin for the finals, and then we're going to divide the top 100 into lots of 10, and then America's going to vote, and they're going to pick their favorite. So we're just finding you the top 100, and America's going to pick their favorite.
And what's the criteria? Now, this is America's favorite trail horse. So
it is favorite. It's not best. So what we're doing is we're asking them to do 3 or 4 actor-approved obstacles, which are very simple. We've got a back and we've got a side pass. And so everything's pretty simple, but we are timing it, and we are taking the top 50 on time. And we are judging the obstacles that they are done cleanly. We don't want a crasher in there, you know, trying to get the fastest time and destroying the course. But after that, the next 50 are taken on their story and their personality and just the fact that they look after their rider and are good horses. So that's been the interesting part to this that I've really enjoyed.
Well, that's cool. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's been great. You know, I get so busy with work, and we all do, and we put our heads down and we work, 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 work. And I called the general manager of ACTA, and I said, you know what, Tom? I don't know what we've done, but it's good. And I felt like I've had time to stop and smell the roses, you know, and I'm kind of seeing what we've caught here. And we have some amazing people and some amazing horses. And the stories, I've had some people come up to me and said, you know what, my horse couldn't back until I entered this, and I've had to go and teach him, and we're doing all these new things because of this. So this is my very first horse show where I had a horse that had, she had walked up to me, and her horse's belly was shaved. And it had been 3 months, but it had taken that long for it to heal and some of the hair to grow back, but you could definitely tell it was shaved. And you know, I said, has your horse had any trouble? Or she said, yeah, he had colic surgery, and he's just getting over it. It was 3 months ago, and I've just started to ride him again. He had to have all this time off. And so I said, oh, really? I said, I bet that was an expensive bill. And she turned around to me, and she's like, no. She's like, they held, you know, some trail ride benefits for him, and I sold some ribbon beads, and everyone got together, and they raised the money, and they paid it for me, and everyone loves Regal, and he's such a special horse. And then Saturday he went out and he won one of the trail classes the day before the auditions. And she sat there in the arena giving her interview to me in tears, just saying, you know what, I love this horse, and I saved this horse, and he's my best friend. How do you do that?
Dude, I want friends like that. Hello, I have a vet bill to pay. Come on, people, donate. Good Lord.
Hey,
awesome.
Have some active friends.
I got to back up, though. Tammy, how did you get involved in this? Again, let me just kind of give a general overview. ACTHA, which is America's Favorite Trail Horse, which is, what does that mean? America's Competitive Trail Horse Association, is hosting
America's
Favorite
Trail Horse. It's a competition that the American Competitive Trail Horse decided to do this year for the very first time. It doesn't go by our general format, because our general format is 6 miles, 6 obstacles, 6 judges, and it's very casual. This is more of not an obstacle arena course, but it's a little more concentrated than our trail courses. But we've done this. Okay. Our main mission in doing this was to give recognition to the trail horse, because a really good trail horse is as handy as a good reining horse, a good cutting horse, a good halter horse, a good anything horse. A trail horse is essential, and it takes as much education and talent to be a good trail horse as it does, you know, in any other discipline. So we really wanted to get America excited about horses, get them excited about horse riding, and really our mission is to give horses jobs, take them out of the rescues, give people something to do with their horses, let them ride for a purpose. And this competition lets them do this because anyone can enter this competition. We've had a lot of rescue horses in there, and that's kind of the stories, you know, that we really enjoy. So that's really why we did it, and that's our mission. We really had, we're just below 1,000 entries, and we're only taking 100, and it's really just taken off like a weed.
Well, no, no, Tammy, this is going to be, like, not just a competition. This is going to be a reality show.
This is a reality show, and the funny thing about it is everyone's going to come to Austin, the top 100, they get their invitations, and we're going to have Pat Pirelli is going to be there, Monty Roberts is going to be there, trying to think, there's a huge national pool of clinicians are going to be there to coach these people through, not so much to judge them, but to really help them and help them improve their relationship with their horse, and they're all actually all going to go home from Austin. And they're not going to know the winner because we're going to have to edit the show. We're going to have to put the show up on TV. We are going to have to let America vote. And then we'll go back and get a winner. So it's going to kind of be a little mixed up the way it's going to have to be edited. But we're going to have to do that to let America vote. And that's what we want to do.
Okay, so basically you get you've had thousands of entries and you select 100 people and their horses to come to one place, and they all get trained by clinicians, and they all have to compete. At the end of this show, while it's going on, the viewers get to vote and pick who their favorite trail horse is. That is a lot of work with 100 people to, like, make sure everybody knows who all 100 people are, huh?
Yeah, that's why I'm in my pajamas still. But, you know, when we took on this, we really didn't understand. You know, this is kind of like the association. Every single staff member was in different parts of the country on the weekend learning these people. I'd done interviews with these people before their audition. I'd done interviews with them during the audition and after the audition. And I actually went out for supper with them the night before, and I had supper with them the next night. And I really, really got a great understanding of the people. And for a staff member to go out into the field and know their people, we can't, that's just so valuable to us, you know. And I really, really enjoyed it. I love the horses, and I'm a sucker for an inspirational story.
Yeah, I know you are. I've listened to your Western show before. I am the same way, though. And I think that's why this is going to be so exciting for horse people, because we all love to tell our stories about where we got our horses and how we came about, what we're doing with them. But we also like to listen to other people's stories and kind of see what people in different parts of the country are doing. Now, Tammy, is this closed? Can people still audition? How do people get involved? What can they do?
People can still audition. And, you know, the really exciting thing I found in the auditions is after they've done a couple of the mandatory obstacles they have to do, they do get 45 seconds to pretty much show us something to impress us, show us what your horse can do. It's kind of a little freestyle time, and it's only 45 seconds, but that has been probably the most exciting part of the auditions because people are doing all kinds of things.
Like what?
I had one lady, and she really didn't have anything good, tricks or anything she can do, so she sat there and she, and for the people who want to look, I can, I'm going to upload all these probably today on the Facebook page of the American Competitive Trail Horse Association, so you can start watching all these candidate auditions from Facebook. But this lady said, I'm from Louisiana, and I just want to show you what a Cajun raincoat is. That was her question to me. So I said, okay, well, I'll go ahead, you know, I'll start your time. She pulled out a tarp with a hole in it, put it over her head, and then popped an umbrella up. You know the umbrellas that have the little horsey ears and a horsey face on there?
Uh-huh.
She loped around the arena, and then she comes up to me. I'm sitting above the arena on a platform. She lopes up to me, and she's like, this is a Cajun raincoat. I was trying to talk to her and trying to interview her, and that little horse on that umbrella was staring at me and moving around, you know. And I just laughed. I said, you know, I can't even concentrate and look at you at the same time. And what scares me is your horse is not bothered by this, so this isn't your first time to do this. You know?
It's a raincoat. That's how they do it down there in Louisiana.
It was hilarious. She had that big old blue tart with a hole in the middle. You know, it's just like someone had put a dart through the middle of it with her head popping out. It was hilarious. But, you know, a lot of other people, they did reining. You know, they looped some circles. They showed us how their horse traveled. We had a gated horse, and a lot of people would show us how they would gate. And we did have a little Welsh pony stallion who was in Project Cowboy called the Bailiff. That sucker actually had the fastest time through the obstacle course for the day with 37 seconds. He beat all the quarter horses. He beat all the gated horses. And I actually asked if I could sit on him, and I had a pony ride.
Wow.
But he was he beat everybody. And, you know, he had a really good handle on him. He's, I don't know how tall he is, but he's a little Welsh pony. And he does the extreme cowboy races. He did Project Cowboy. He does everything. He done act the rides. He was a beautiful little pony. So he did get the fastest time, so he's got a really, really good chance of going to Austin. So we're going to announce it in a couple of weeks, but it's not too late. There's certain parts of the country that are still open for auditions. It's like I have Stephenville in Texas, and I'm going to judge a couple of, you know, in 2 weeks, and there's a lot of auditions going on this weekend. People just have to go to www.acfa.us and click on America's Favorite Trail Horse. And then they can enter and see what auditions, and even if you see what auditions are in your area and you go and hang out and watch.
I'm trying to think what I would do in 45 seconds on my horse to impress the judges, because, I mean, I can jump a fence, woohoo. Like, he doesn't do any tricks. He doesn't spin. He doesn't rein.
But if
I
he
mean,
travels nice, you know, with his head down and he's got a very nice, someone showed us a beautiful extended trot across the arena.
Boring. I think my one skill that I can do on my horse is I can take my saddle off of my horse and untack him without getting off of him. Would that be cool?
What, you just undo your cinch and fall off? Because I can visualize that.
So you've seen me ride.
It'd
okay,
be funny.
Good.
I did have one lady. You know those hit air vests, the ones that inflate
yeah.
on impact, you know?
Yeah.
She comes
you
up
do.
To me, and she does her obstacle course. She comes up to the platform where I'm sitting, and I said, what do you have for your freestyle? And she puts her hand up towards the ripcord, and I kind of backed up because I thought she was going to blow up before her freestyle.
I didn't know trail riders were wearing those.
Yeah, she had some spine problems and really bad arthritis, and she couldn't afford to get bucked off, and she really, really liked them. So she said it gave her a lot of confidence. I swear she was going to blow herself up for her freestyle, but she didn't. She was just, I don't know what she was doing, readjusting or something. I got scared. I was like, oh, my God, she's going to blow up.
Everybody down!
This is my freestyle. Rip.
Well, Tammy, before we let you go, I wanted to mention that you also did something that was fun, and I just posted it on our Facebook page. You did a little shooting demonstration over the weekend for the people down there to show them what mounted shooting was like. And, of course, Jennifer and I got to see mounted shooting up at Equine Affair, and we thought it was fantastic. We just had so much fun watching it. But I have to say, you were a little faster than the ones we saw. You're a little bit higher level. So I posted that on Facebook. And tell me, it looks like the camera person was not prepared.
Oh, my gosh, Glenn, that was hilarious. I have a staff member who I work with, and she'd never seen mounted shooting before. So, you know, I'm very casual and kind of a very laid-back person. So I said, why don't you video this, and we'll put it on the ACFA Facebook page. Here's the flip. Stand down there. And I went down to the starting, and I really wanted to explain to people we're not bow racers, and we don't run into the arena. We lope some circles, and we gather speed, and it's all very calm. And so I was down the other end of the arena, and I was yelling to the crowd, I'm looping some circles, I'm taking my time, and I'm all casual laid back, I'm going to pull my gun. And then I come along the back fence, and I gather quite a bit of momentum, and I run up the arena fence. And she must have been kind of in line with my shot, my first shot, And when I pulled the trigger, you can watch the video, you would swear I shot her because the camera, like, dropped to the ground. And then she picks it back up, and then she films the rest of it, and you can hear her breathing, you know.
Tammy, so, having experienced that same thing at Equine Affair, in that you're sitting in the stands, and the gun is pointed pretty much in your direction, and people shoot it, that's what happens to people. It's startling.
I watched that, and I laughed till I cried. It was so funny. And someone comes up to me, and they watched it, and they're like, well, she's got good reflexes.
She managed to bring it back, and then show the rest of the round. You're fast. That horse of yours can fly. Wow.
Yes, he did. And I actually shot rifle in that little arena to show people the rifle demonstration. And kind of in the rifle, you kind of drop your reins and pick up the rifle and shoot the rest of them with no hands because, you know, it's just too much trouble to hold on to them and steer and stuff. So yeah, I just kind of throw him down, and he knows that he's going home. So I done a rifle demonstration there, which I was a little nervous on that because it was a small arena, and it's pretty hard to get my rifle put away and my reins picked up before I hit the back fence. But I managed to do it and still look cool, which is really important.
Well, if you want to see that video, it's posted on Horses in the Morning on our Facebook page. Thank you so much, Tammy. And, of course, you can find out more about America's Favorite Trail Horse Competition at ACTHA.us, that's AXA.us. Thank you so much, Tammy, and good luck with it. Keep us informed of how it's going, and let us know how you do this week at the national finals down there shooting your heart out.
I will. I'm shooting this weekend, and then the weekend after that I have a Stephenville auditions in Texas. And there is actually 100 people auditioning there. So I'm going to have a lot of interesting freestyle. So if I've got any cool clips, I'm going to send them to you, Glenn, and you can post them on the Facebook wall so people don't have to chase around too. So
I'll send
you the funny ones.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Tammy.
That's awesome.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye, Tammy.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, just before we get to our next guest, Steve Maxwell, with our Collegiate Report, got to tell you today's show is sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health, and daily deworming makes a difference you can see. Feed Pfizer Animal Health, feed Pfizer Animal Health Strongid C or C2X to help your horse's coat shine. Strongid C2X is designed for daily administration to horses and foals, killing parasites before they take your horse's good looks and good health. Learn more at PfizerAH.com.
Well, we appreciate Pfizer continuing to be a sponsor of the Horses in the Morning show. Our next guest up, his name is Steve Maxwell. It's his first time on Horses in the Morning. And he is going to provide us, come on occasionally, and provide us with a collegiate report of what's going on in the college equestrian scene. He does a website called campusequestrian.com. And we appreciate him joining us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Glenn, and good morning, Jamie.
Morning.
We appreciate you joining us. Now, I know it's sort of coming. Alan Moorhead was on yesterday, and he was talking about the Georgia Bulldogs and how well they're doing, and we're coming up to the end of the season here in some championships, right?
Yes, there are actually several different championships. The first of the whole bunch are actually the what are called the Varsity Equestrian National Championships. Those are later this week down in Waco, Texas. And there will be 1,200 seat and 12 Western teams that ride in what's called varsity that are competing in that, what's called the varsity championships. It's basically part of the NCAA, though they can't use the name NCAA. That's the first of the championship groups, and that's later this week. The more interesting one to me, because I specialize in it, is the Intercollegiate Horse Show Association Championships. They will be later, about a month from now, May 5th through 8th, in Lexington, Kentucky, at the Indoor Equestrian Event Arena at the Kentucky Horse Park. And you'll have 16 hunter seat teams and 9 Western teams competing, along with many different individual riders, at the IHSA National Show.
So that's in our neck of the woods here in Lexington. I didn't realize
yes,
that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. There will be the way it works. IHSA just ended what's called the zones shows. Those are for the hunter seat riders, and they had 6 shows that were called zones this past weekend around the country, and they determined the final 12 teams into the national show for the IHSA. There'll be, in fact, five teams that had never made it to IHSA Nationals have done so for the first time in program history. This past 2 weeks, that was accomplished.
Now, do they only do Hunt Seat and Western, or are there other disciplines that the collegiates do as well?
Well, there's also something called the Intercollegiate Dressage Association, and they will have their nationals. They will have them in Newberry, Florida, April 30th and May 1st, and that's a separate organization that handles the dressage end of things.
Okay, so there is dressage as part of it as well. Now, how many kids are involved is there any idea of how many kids are involved total in equestrian?
I can tell you that number exactly, Glenn. In the Intercollegiate Horse Show Association, you combine the English and the Western. Their website indicates that they are up to 8,600 riders registered nationwide. That's over, I mean, they started in 1967. They only added Western around 1977. So they now have over a 44-year span. They're up to 8,600 riders. They're huge because of that. Now, by contrast, the varsity/NCAA, they were started in 1999. They have a total, I'll give you an example, they have a total of 22 schools participating, 12 of which, some didn't go for English, some didn't go for Western later this week down in Waco, but there will be 12 English teams, 12 Western teams riding out of a national total of 22. By contrast, the Intercollegiate Horse Show Association, because they have different levels below the open level, they have 8 levels as opposed to really one level for the varsity, they have far more riders going to their year-end national show, which is why it's over 4 days and why it really is classes from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. or even into the evening after sunset, two of those days. There probably will be over 350 to 400 human beings competing, maybe perhaps more than once, in the IHSA national show, May 5th through 8th.
Wow, that's bigger than I thought it was. And now, you know, one of the things, this is really coming on. There's actually scholarships, it's become a serious deal now, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. In fact, there is definitely far more interest. I really think that the media finally picked up on the fact that there are so many people in the organization, and I think that had a lot to do with it. More and more people are joining, advertising within the IHSA, and it really is very significant. I mean, they've had significant growth. The IHSA in their 44-year history has grown every single year, even when the baby boom sort of caused the number of college-aged children to go down in the late 80s, early 90s, they continued to grow, and that's part of it. Also, I do need to mention, even though they're not college level, another organization that was formed in the last 10 years that I'm starting to cover on campus equestrian is the Interscholastic Equestrian Association, or IEA. That is the high school equivalent of the IHSA. They're actually affiliated with each other. That actually starts at sixth grade. Sixth grade through 12th can compete in the IEA. And they've grown in only 9 years from zero riders to 4,000. So they've really picked up the ball and run with it, so to speak. And they will be having their national championships at the Showplace Arena at Prince George's Equestrian Center in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. And that's April 28th through May 1st. That's a 4-day event, and that's basically the high school championships, and I'm covering that on my site as well.
Okay, Steve, let's get down to the nuts and bolts of this. I was talking to Alan yesterday, and he told me that my Georgia Bulldogs were, like, doing awesome and kicking some major butt. So what I want to do is I want to talk a little trash. I want to talk about my Georgia Bulldogs and how well they're doing. Yeah, go team. Go dogs. Sick 'em. What are the top schools? You have to do that when you talk about the dogs, and it's not D-O-G-S. It is D-A-W-G-S. That is how you spell it. So what are the top schools right now? Like, who is the who's who of the intercollegiate sports?
Well, right now, the gentleman you had on yesterday was very excited about the varsity show later this week, quite frankly, and that's great. And they, in fact, they have a bracket, sort of like if you go to their website, they have a bracket posted, not unlike you'd see for the NCAA March Madness college basketball tournament.
Awesome. Can we bet?
Sorry, yes, go ahead. I'm not going to get – I won't go down that road. I'm not one to gamble on that sort of thing.
On
but,
college,
college
equestrian teams.
They were given, but to show you how important things are, they were given the number two seed out of the 12 teams in the entire tournament for the hunter seat. They only Auburn received a higher seed for the hunter seat. So I don't have to talk to the people that the vote on the NCAA committee. I'm not part of that, so I can't. I might have seeded Georgia one myself. I don't know. Though I do think they're pretty. They're all quite good just to be there. But that's for the hunter seat end of it. For the Western bracket, I know that Texas A&M was seeded at one in the Western. So they are, and they have historically been very powerful. West Texas, or excuse me, I have an IHSA mindset. There's a very good team from West Texas A&M that rides in the IHSA, and the Georgia Bulldogs, to be quite honest, were fourth seeds, a little bit lower in the Western, where they're behind Texas A&M and Auburn and Oklahoma State, with the Cowboys getting the two seed and Auburn the three, and A&M, the Aggies, getting the one, and the Bulldogs getting the four seed. All four of those get a bye week, so to speak, even though it's not a week, it's a day. They will not. There will be eight teams that have to go in pairs, in A, B, C, and D bracket, before they get the winner. For example, South Carolina and Delaware State compete it's for the right to compete against Georgia in the second round. Georgia can put their feet up on the desk and wait and watch South Carolina, the five, face Delaware State, the 12 seed, for that one.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, so if a Texas team was not the number one seed for Western, I think the world might end.
That's a very good. In fact, their English team is extremely talented. So they would, and that's why I'm sort of surprised they're only a five seed for hunter seat, but that's the way that it came out this year. And by the way, your Bulldogs await for hunter seat. They will await the winner of the Fresno State Tennessee Martin showdown, the 7-10 matchup gets Georgia.
Doesn't
in the
matter.
Second round.
They got them both. Fresno, really? Oh, okay. I mean, the California people, wow.
They're pretty good. It's a pretty good Fresno
team. I'm talking trash like I know these people, okay? It's not about the people. It's just clearly about the school. And I know my daddy is listening right now, and he is a Georgia Bulldog. He was born one. I mean, my family all went there, so I have to, you know, stand up for the dogs. And, you know, it doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
People, when they look at the NCAA bracket, they don't care who – they don't know who's the starting team. All they know is they have team loyalty. So go Dogs.
Okay, well, you're entitled to do that. That's your prerogative. You went there.
She is representing today.
Yeah.
Well,
I really
think though, I think in a few weeks when the IHSA Nationals come about, you're going to have quite a few teams there. That they don't have brackets. They will simply have the 16 teams that survived the zone shows this past weekend, the weekend before, plus the nine Western teams that survived what is called semifinals, which took place the last weekend in March at three different sites. There'll be three teams that came out of each of those semifinals. You have quite a few talented teams. For example, turning back to English, you have to look at a very talented Centenary College team that has taken a team to IHSA Nationals all but twice since 1990. You have a very talented Mount Holyoke team that had a rare fight to win their zone show in their own building on Saturday over an upstart University of New Hampshire team, which will also be going to Nationals. And Holyoke has been at Nationals many, many times since 1997. They've missed it only three times, for an example. You have a very talented pair of teams out in the Midwest, Miami of Ohio, excuse me. They had the highest total of any team over the weekend at their zone show. They scored 49 points. They're going to face off against, among others, University of Kentucky, which won the national championship 3 years ago and which finished second to them at the show hosted by Otterbein on this past Saturday. So
there's no question about who's going to win that one.
Who Who's going to win that one, Glenn?
Well, University of Kentucky, of course. University of Kentucky. We're right there in Lexington.
Just because you can walk to their campus, I understand.
I was just going to say, home court advantage, no problem there. She's representing.
Well,
we have to represent, too.
Yeah, hey, remember, a year ago they had the same advantage, Glenn. They did have the same advantage a year ago, and they did not get High Point team last, so they did pretty well. So they will be local, but they may. Those other teams are pretty good.
Well, you know what? They have to redeem. They have to redeem something. They just lost in basketball, so they have to come back and win in something. I have to ask you: do they bring their own horses? So they've got horses traveling in from all over the country. Do they do that, or do they ride horses that are at the schools they go to?
What happens, the host school provides the horses, and it's a random draw. It's you don't even get a schooling chance. You don't get a chance to school in the IHSA, and I believe it's the same in the NCAA. You do not have any control over, other than a horse draw, you get a horse that is strange to you. It is possible if it's a show where you're the host school or somebody brought in a horse that you're familiar with, or even the rider, one of the riders could volunteer their horse for a competition. The rider could conceivably draw by pure chance their own horse and get to ride it. I have seen that happen at college shows. For the IHSA Nationals and NCAA Nationals, what will happen, there will be probably a pool of horses from different schools. They will probably have a committee that will select horses that are brought out from these different schools prior to the start of the show and say, okay, we want that one, that one, that one, that one from these various barns that are bringing horses. Those are the cream of the crop. Those are the horses that will be used for the horse draw at the national show.
You know, there must be so much trash talking about the other school's horses, too. God, their horses were crap. I can't believe crappy their horses were. I can only imagine the trash talking that must go on that way.
During the regular season, that can happen, but there are also cases.
I love how you're so politically correct.
People are saying, no, I really like those horses. We can't wait to get to that barn. We've been to that barn before. We love the horses there. They have good horses. I think that more often than not, on a sort of looking at everything on a full, looking at the big picture, they say we like the horses in general at that farm. There are some horses we hope we don't draw after we see them school in the morning. But for the most part, I think the majority of shows people are happy with the horses. There's dumb luck. There's also better competition. There are a number of reasons why people might not pin as high up.
Steve, I got to tell you, as a girl, and as a former hunter jumper, and as a competitor currently with my own horses, nothing is ever my fault. Okay, it is always my horse's fault. And if I am on another school's horses that I am competing against, and I don't win, it is definitely their horse's fault. Okay, so you can live in this happy little world that you're living in, but I guarantee you, they are. I know they're women, and then they get together, and it's even worse. And then they're talking about horses. Oh my, yeah, there's no way. But as a man, you can live in your little happy world and think that all women are very sweet all the time.
I don't know about that either, but okay.
Well, Steve, we appreciate you joining us. That's campusequestrian.com. Hop on over and check it out.
Campusequestrian.com.
All right, good.
Sorry.
You have it all broken down to the different associations and also the geographic regions and everything.
Absolutely,
so
yes.
That's where they can keep track of everything that's going on. And I know you guys have sort of become the go-to place for everybody in that world to keep track of what's going on. So we appreciate you stopping by here, and we'll have to get you on after all of these finals are over, and we'll talk about who the winners are.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Okay. Go Bulldogs, Jamie. Take care.
Hey, you know what I learned out of that one, guys? That the collegiate equestrian world is one, you know what, of a confusing place.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's this
that guy
league,
knows
that league. He knows. Well, I guess he's been covering it since 2002. But very politically correct, Steve is. He likes to toe the line
he's
there.
He's trying to set the tone.
Yes, he does set a very clean tone. Jamie was trying to untone him a bit, but
I tried to knock him off. I tried a couple times. I was talking trash about other schools, about the dogs, talking about girls, and their you know, whatever behavior, and nothing got him riled up.
Nope.
So he's going to be a good reporter because that's what he does, is he drops the knowledge. He does not potentially drop the entertainment. Like, I would like to throw him, just like Glenn, too, you know, we like to throw stuff against the wall and see if it sticks. Nothing sticks to him. So he passes the test, really. I mean, he's a good reporter. He's actually a real reporter as opposed to what we do, Glenn, which is just sit here and talk trash.
That's right, exactly. We're going to have to take a ride over and watch a little bit of the championships here come the end of the month and see if that's really the way it is. We're going to have to chat with the team. Well, if you've been thinking about some custom products for you or your horse, maybe show off those unique barn colors that you have, then there's one place that you need to go, and that's the Horse Depot. The Horse Depot has all the custom products that you're going to want, from custom apparel to sheets to saddle pads to equestrian bags and carriers of all sorts. And they have the top names in custom that you want also, including Blue Ribbon, Jax, Fenwick, and Tally Ho. You know, those custom products, when Jennifer and I had our tack shop back in the mid-90s through the early 2000s, were just really coming into play, and all the custom colors were becoming affordable and all these different products. Well, now it's an everyday thing, and you can get all those cuts and colors and features that you want at the Horse Depot. They have terrific customer service. You call them up, you talk to them, you tell them what you want, and they're going to get it for you. And you can find them at thehorsedepotonline.com. That's thehorsedepotonline.com for all of your custom needs. Well, today I thought, you know, we're talking Western, we're talking cowboys, we're talking all that kind of stuff. We play a little Trish Lynn, and this one's called This Cowboy's Mine.
Thank you.
Trish Lynn, this cowboy's mine, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. Today brought to you by Pfizer Animal Health. I'm Jamie Jennings with Glenn the Geek. And Glenn, I don't know if you've looked at Facebook anytime recently in the past couple minutes, but Aubrey Miller commented on what is the website, the marestare.com. apparently, Aubrey is currently horse sitting for somebody. She says, Jamie, did you catch the gray mare foaling at 11:30 Eastern Standard Time last night? Love mare stare, but have been horse sitting for a gal with a horse on there, Brookhaven Minis in North Carolina. And one of the crazy message board people called me at 1:30 in the morning to tell me the mare had knocked over her water. I could have killed her. She even called the owner who was on vacation to tell her that. Yikes. And I told Aubrey, I said, honey, now that I know that you're sitting there and you're the one who's, fielding all the phone calls from the people watching marestare.com, I'm calling you at 2 in the morning. Because really, that's not that big of a stretch for me because I'm 3 hours behind. So I'll just have to stay up a little later than normal. Call you at 2 in the morning just to complain about whatever. I think she needs more bedding. I think you should put more bedding in there. I think she looks a little bit hungry. Can you give her a flake of hay? This website is awesome because I don't have a mare.
Well, there is an update here. She just, Aubrey, I'm kind of thinking, isn't Aubrey the listener that we have that always calls in and listens? Trying to remember that.
Sure.
Anyway, Aubrey just updated and said, she has always looked hungry. She's a mini. And a girl, and pregnant. Check the message board for alerts to decide which cans to keep an eye on. Just turned it on last night, and this gray mare was right on top. Went to her cam, and she was foaling right then. Watched until the little guy stood up for the first time. So cool. That's great for if you're not a horse husband like me and a little squeamish. This would be for the non-horse husbands out there. You know,
again,
all
if you're
they
just joining
had to do
us. Let me reset because I got to tell everybody what Marestare is. Marestare.com is a website that you can go on, and apparently hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people around the world have cameras in their horses' stalls, you know, to watch them foal out so they can have it connected to the inside of their house. But they also broadcast it online. And then they have the contact numbers. So if the horse is starting to foal, you can actually call them and be like, hey, your horse is having a baby. Get out there, you know, get out and do it. So there's a website. And poor Aubrey, she is currently house-sitting somebody with the live camera. Okay, carry on, Glenn.
That's great. You know, it is fun, and our listeners have been posting a lot of cool stuff. I actually posted this cool thing that has not horse-related, but it was a little fun. There was a video done, and they gave permission to do this. I'm really surprised. I think it was Air France. Did you see the video of the Aurora Borealis that these people that were flying from California to France took?
No, I didn't watch it, but I think that's so cool. I've read it, but I didn't watch it.
Well, they have time lapse. They had a camera. They allowed them to set it up in the plane, which don't usually allow them to do. And they took a picture every 2 minutes on the entire 12-hour flight from California to France. And they went the northern route up, over like the North Pole. And they took they caught this video and they sped it up into a 2-minute video of their whole flight. And it caught the Aurora Borealis. It was really cool. It was really neat. It was fun to watch.
Oh, that's really cool. That's cool. Yeah. That's one thing I do want to see. It's on my bucket list is to go see the Northern Lights. But the problem with going to see the Northern Lights is you have to see it, when it's really cold. And going up to Alaska and laying outside in the wintertime does not appeal to me. So I would have to see them from a plane. Maybe I'll just watch the video and check it off. You know what I mean?
Yes, it is. It is. That is one of the things about it. And I remember one night Jennifer and I sat outside. It was cold, too. It was the one night years ago that they had all of the shooting stars were supposed to be in one night. And we did see about 100 of them in the hour and a half. We froze our butts off laying in the back of our truck looking up. I do remember that from years and years ago. That was. Hey, I also wanted to tell you, remember we talked about horse surfing, where they pull a surfer in the ocean by on a horse?
Refresh my memory.
You remember us talking about that? It's become a huge thing in Europe right now, and what reminded me of this is we're going to have our European report, first one coming up here, thanks to Horse and Country TV. But it was these horse surfers. They basically ride, the horse pulls the surfer, who is on usually one board, and he's surfing along the ocean or along a big lake or something, and the horse is just pulling him along by a rope tied to the saddle at about 100 miles an hour along the beach, and it's become a huge thing over there, this horse surfing.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay,
isn't that cool?
The whole hot surfer idea, the dudes on the back being, hot surfer guys, and then the whole idea of galloping a horse on the beach as fast as you can, that sounds amazing.
It is, and, it looks like fun. I've seen videos of it, and as I said, it's becoming a huge thing over there in Europe, so maybe it'll become a big thing here, too. Usually it all starts in Europe and then comes to the United States at some point. But we're going to be having up here shortly, we're going to be doing our first report from Horse and Country TV, which is based over there in England, and they're going to be coming on every week to do a report with us on the hot topics and what's new over in Europe and what's going on over there. We have a huge listener base over there. I took a look at, and this kind of surprised me, actually. I took a look yesterday at where our top countries were, and for every show we do on the Horse Radio Network, it's a little bit different. But yesterday I took a look, and I was surprised at Horses in the Morning because I hadn't looked in a while, and we've been picking up new listeners all the time. And yesterday, when I looked, America's first, of course. Canada is always second on almost all the shows we do as far as the number of listeners. But on Horses in the Morning, it's different. It's United States first. Australia overtook Canada, and we now have more Australian listeners than we do Canadian listeners, and then it's the UK. England. Yeah, I know. So welcome to all our Australia listeners. This is the only show on the network where Australia beats out Canada for the second spot. So I was kind of surprised at that, and we welcome all of our Australian listeners, despite Jamie's terrible Australian accent.
But you know what? I was watching TV the other day, and Chad and I were trying to figure out, like, do Australians really say mate as much as we think they say mate? And they do. We were watching, it was like an interview on TV, and the guy must have said mate. Like, what are you, mate? Oh, thanks for having me on, mate. All right, mate. Take care, mate. And it was true. So I love it. I wish Australian people call in more often because I just love listening to you. You get to listen to me. I want to call. I want to hear. And I love female Australian accents. I just think they're so cool.
Well, you had Tammy on earlier, although hers is more of a Southern Texas Australian accent now.
She's washed out. Yeah. Hers is washed out.
Well, let's get an English accent on here. We have Katie Gilmore from Horse and Country TV. And I got to tell you, Horse and Country is a new network for us over here in the United States because, it's not something that we have seen a lot of, but we're going to be seeing a lot more of it because they've made a deal with HRTV now to be covering some of the action over here. So Katie was kind enough to agree to come on here once a week and give us the heads up on what's going on over there in Europe. So welcome, Katie, for your first time to Horses
Hi.
In the Morning.
Thank you very much.
Can you do an Australian accent? Jamie loves those.
G'day, mate.
See,
I told you.
Actually, the chairman of Horse and Country TV is actually Australian. So
there
we get
you go.
To that accent an awful lot.
We're going to have to get him on at some point. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Why not?
So tell us first, before you get into your report, tell us about Horse and Country TV, because I bet you there's a lot of Americans that just aren't very familiar with it.
Absolutely. Well, Horse and Country TV has been around in the UK for a while now. We broadcast 24 hours a day on Sky 280. We have some deals in various other countries to show programs and other networks too, and we've just come to the US and we broadcast 2 hours a day on HRTV as well, which is great. We also have a very comprehensive website, which you've probably taken a look at horseandcountry.tv, which has a mixture of news, mainly UK and European equestrian and countryside news. We've got 350 hours of video, which is free to watch. And we have a team of, celebrity bloggers that tell us what they're up to and send us videos. And they range from Olympic eventers to champion farriers to breeders, all very interesting. In fact, I published a blog this morning by a breeder called Angela Crane with some beautiful images of a foal being born. So if that's something you've never seen, it's well worth going and having a look at.
Unless you're a horse husband, and then I highly advise against it, by the way. I just want to say that because I was over there, and I clicked on the link, and then I went, oh, man, I don't need to be watching this first thing in the morning while I eat my breakfast. So I got to tell you, Katie, I did avoid that one at all costs after that. But you guys have – I was watching around there this morning. Jennifer caught me. She's like, you're supposed to be getting ready for the show. I said, I am. I'm watching all the videos. You guys do a great job with your programming. I have to say that in the past, and I'm not going to name names, in the past, horse programming has tended to be very boring. And that's one of the reasons I started the Horse Radio Network, because I wanted some entertaining radio. And, you know, video was the same way. It just tended to be dry and boring. But your videos are terrific. Your camera work is great. I just enjoyed what I watched.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoy it. We do our best to bring some, you know, entertaining programs. There's a real mixture of shows from horse sports themselves right down to more instructional masterclasses. And I think it gives a good mix because, you know, you get to watch the experts in action and then you get to find out how they train the horses and give it a go yourself. Maybe not always with the same results, but you can hope.
Yeah, and then you
That's
just
why
they
make the big bucks.
That's right. And you do
exactly.
Some fun programming, too. Just some fun stuff that I enjoyed playing around with on there this morning. It was good. But you guys have something really big coming up here that really, I don't think Americans appreciate how big this particular event is in England.
The Badminton Horse Trials.
Yes.
Yeah. Badminton is probably the biggest event in the UK calendar. It is one of the FEI Classics series. It's a three-day event, but it also has a grassroots competition as well, which is great because I think I was talking to an eventer yesterday, and she was saying that badminton is the big one for them. It's almost holy, but it is you have to treat it with reverence. It is such a huge event, and they all want to get there. So now that badminton have also introduced this grassroots event for riders that are jumping literally 90 centimetres, it kind of gives amateur riders a bit of hope that they could compete on what is considered holy ground. But the main event is the four-star Mitsubishi Badminton Horse Trials, which takes place not this Thursday, next Thursday it all starts. It kicks off with the horse inspections. And for us, it's a massive event because, as I say, it's one of the biggest in the UK. This year it's happening over Easter weekend. It's slightly earlier than normal, so a lot of people haven't been able to go, which is a real shame because I know from my own experience, before I worked for Horse & Country, badminton was an event I never missed. You will get to see top name riders from all over the world. We have riders come from Australia, from America, everywhere to compete. The prize money is good. It's very exciting. The cross-country test in particular is known as one of the biggest and most testing courses that exists within the classics. Certainly this year is no exception. So anyone that would like to see what the course is like, we actually have a preview course walk on the website at the moment with Sharon Hunt, who was part of the Beijing Olympic eventing team. So worth going over to horseandcountry.tv to have a look at that. And this year the course designer himself has said that the course is designed to test accuracy and boldness. It's also a competition that is really oversubscribed. I think there's something like 80 riders sit on the waiting list to see if they can start. That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a big waiting list.
I got to tell you, Glenn, that you mentioned 90 centimeters, and I have an app for that, and that is almost 3 feet. That is 2.95 feet. So for those of you who heard 90 centimeters, I had to convert. And so 3 feet. And then also the entries from the United States going over to badminton. I got to tell you that, I think I told this earlier, is a friend of mine went to badminton and had his horse, and he got off the airplane and was getting the horse, and one of the even the baggage claim people, the women and men that are in the orange vests outside the airport flagging the planes. They were like, are you going to badminton? Good luck, man. How exactly, if you were in the U.S. and you said, yeah, I'm going to Rolex, baggage claim people wouldn't know what you were talking about. That's how big of an event it is over there. I mean, it's like the World Cup finals. You know, it's like, let's see, the World Series for over here.
It is,
so
it's
definitely a big deal. But I want to tell you that the Americans that are going include names like, I think there's three right now currently on their way, Karen O'Connor, Buck Davison, and Jennifer Wooten Defoe with the Good Witch. So we're going to have some pretty awesome American representation over there in badminton this year.
Absolutely. It's a big family event as well. You tend to find you get non-horsey people that attend the event. There's a very big camping culture that you don't necessarily see at a lot of events. There's two great big fields that you will see packed full of tents and packed full of of lorries. Yeah, that people just come down and they stay for the whole event. And it's a lot of fun because, you know, everyone is very like-minded. Everyone is there for a good time. And the riders themselves mingle with the crowd. They'll walk off and use the same food stands as the punters that are just going along to watch the event itself. So it really is. It's a fabulous event.
Well, let's also mention there, Katie, that it's on the grounds of it's pretty beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful events too.
It really is. It's at Badminton House, which is the Duke of Beaufort's estate. In fact, on the last day, it's lovely because the Duke of Beaufort does a display of his hounds, and all the guys come in their red jackets, and the hounds are all mingling with the crowd. And you quite often will watch a hound sneaking on a child's ice cream or something. And again, it's all just part of this fantastic atmosphere. It's a really fun event. It is about the horses. It is about the riding. There's also a fantastic charity event happening called Horses Help Heroes, which is to help guys that have been injured in the Iraq and Afghanistan conflict. So that's going to be happening in the main arena as well. So, you know, there's a lot going on, and not to mention the amount of trade stands there are. I usually come back needing to take out a new mortgage because there are so much. The shopping is so good.
Jamie highly recommends gambling first and winning a lot of money. That's what she did for Rolex this year. So blackjack would be our recommendation for that.
I'll probably need it.
What kind
but,
of coverage?
Let me tell you what we're doing
ahead.
For badminton
yep.
with Horse and Country. Now, as I said, it's Easter weekend. There's a lot of people that can't make it this year. So online, we are going badminton crazy. Myself and my co-reporter, Jenny, are camping at badminton for the whole 4 days. We are providing a full Twitter commentary, which will be up to the second action of what's going on. So you'll be able to follow us at twitter.com/horseandcountry to follow our badminton commentary. We'll be putting daily reports on the website of all the action that's happening, all of the results from that day. We have a young eventer who, quite honestly, is going to be huge, called Gemma Tattersall. She's competing her horse, King's Gem, at badminton, and she's going to be blogging for us all the way through the event.
Oh, cool.
We're taking cameras, and we'll be posting exclusive rider interviews. And we're also planning to do some Facebook and Twitter chats with riders. So we're going to be grabbing them, bringing them into the press tent, and basically answering user questions on anything you like, from what was their first horse called to how do I make my horse behave better. They'll be there and answering the questions. So it's going to be busy for us on the ground. On TV, on Sky 280 in the UK, we've got extended coverage from badminton from the 30th of April and the 1st of May. We'll have an hour's dressage highlights, 5 hours of cross-country, so cross-country fans can enjoy that, and 30 minutes of show jumping. And we will also have a badminton presence on Horse and Country TV, on HRTV in the US, but we're still just working out what that'll look like at the moment.
Okay.
So busy event for us as well, but frankly, I can't wait.
Yeah, I bet. You're camping out there. Could you use a couple extra reporters? Jamie and I are free. We can fly out. Yeah, we
if
can
you
come
want to
over.
Hop over on a plane, you know, there's a fabulous champagne bar there, so I'm sure we shall be helping that mate do some business as
That's
well.
That's our kind of reporting there, Jamie. I think we can cover it from there. We can handle that.
Pretty good.
Now, you guys, what kind of programming is going to be happening on HRTV? What kind of things are we going to get to see from Horse and Country on HRTV coming up?
Well, we have a two-hour block of Horse and Country TV programs, and this varies from week to week according to the schedule. This week you can see Show Jumping Ireland, which is a premier Grand Prix series of Irish show jumping. It features show jumpers again, they're international show jumpers. There's 10 shows in the series and then a final that you can see. Also this week there's two episodes of Horse Patrol. Now, you'll have heard of World Horse Welfare, I'm sure, which are concerned with welfare and protecting horses in need. There are 4 rehab centres around Britain. There's 16 field officers. And Horse Patrol, the series, follows the centres and the field officers. So you do see some abused horses and ponies, but you also see how World Horse Welfare help them. You watch them working with the RSPCA, the vets, and the police. And you also see some of the hostile conditions that they find themselves in. So it's really interesting programming just to see the amazing work these guys do. So it's those two shows at the moment that are going out this week. Because it goes over different time zones, I'd say anyone that would like to see the Horse and Country block on HRTV, go to the HRTV website. It's hrtv.com/calendar.asap, and you can have a look at the schedule there. But you can also watch our shows online. If you go to hrtvlive.com and subscribe, there's programs on there that are there for a limited amount of time. So there's no excuse to miss them. But, yeah, great shows. And as I say, there's a lot more coming up.
Yeah, you're not allowed to watch that one, Jamie. too much of a soft face. You're not allowed to watch it. She'll be crying the whole time. That'd be bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's great to know when you see the good stories and you see the horses that have come good. It's quite inspiring, yeah. And you just think, you know, these guys do amazing work.
Aw. I'm laughing at Jennifer online because I love listening. I'm back to the whole accent thing. I want to start talking like you. I want to start talking in centimeters. I want to say that I would like to check the HRTV schedule. And Jennifer then typed in, it's hoof. So here's the question. Do you say hoof or hoof?
Hoof.
Yay! See, the English do it right. Yay! You're outvoted now,
hoof.
Jamie.
You're not European, okay? You're not European. You're American. We say hoof. It's ugly, I know. And I think that the English accent is so much more beautiful. And I'm going to check my schedule, and I'll get back to you.
Well,
you
I can do some elocution lessons if you want to learn to speak with an English accent.
Yeah, anyway, she needs them. She definitely needs them. No question about it. Hey,
oh, I know I don't. I got it. I'm really good at it. Sorry. I'm embarrassed.
You can't get any worse than that.
No, it's
hey,
terrible.
Now she's going, why did I even agree to do this show? Hey, Katie, every week, too, you're going to do a video of the week, and I know you picked one out this week.
I did, yes. We made a series called How to Succeed at Prelim for people that are just starting out competing in dressage. And this is online and available to watch at horseandcountry.tv/prelim. It's presented by Jenny Rudel, who's an event rider, actually. And she's working in the series with dressage rider and trainer Keith Robertson, who is absolutely fantastic. And I have to say, I can vouch for Keith. He's the trainer of my horse, and he's exceptionally good. It shows a beautiful young warm blood by a horse called Troy, and the mare is genuinely competing at prelim, but you can see the potential that she has. It's a series of 6 short videos that you can watch online, and they cover correct turnout, things like dressage, legal tack, and this is according to British dressage rules, the movements you expect to find in the prelim test and how to ride them for maximum marks, how to warm up safely and effectively, how to plan your test, how to ride the test itself and understand the judges' comments, and also Keith's tips for success. So it's a great series for anyone that is just starting to compete in dressage. And that
okay.
can be found at horseandcountry.tv, prelim.
Okay, now I would like to point out that you guys in Europe are so much cooler and better than us because I would like, in June 6th, I am going to do a horse trials. And so if you could by then film How to Succeed at Beginner Novice, that would be fantastic. So you can get that up and running for those of us Americans over here by June 6th. I would really appreciate it.
I'll give it a go. You know, we do. We have other how-to things that might be relevant. We have things like how to prepare your horse to go cross-country with one of our Olympic eventers, and all
cool.
sorts of things like that. So have
I
a dig around
a
and you'll find it.
Okay, between Horse and Country TV and Maresfair.com, I'm never leaving my computer again.
But then you'll never see your horse.
Exactly. You're not going to be practicing much. Well, Katie, this has been great. We really appreciate you joining us, and we're looking forward to having you on every week if you come back after Jamie's bad imitations there. Yeah, okay, good.
I'm looking
good.
Forward to seeing how Jamie's British accent develops.
Yeah, okay, great.
So have a great day.
Good. Now you're encouraging her. She's torturing our listeners and me, for that matter. And now you're encouraging her. Jeez.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, Katie, don't do that. All right, Katie, we appreciate it. And, of course, it's horseandcountry.tv for all of the badminton coverage. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. I hope she comes back. I really like her.
She's great.
I really like her. I don't think she particularly cared for me, but I'll warm her up. I'll get her over that. She'll like me by the end of it.
Well, you know, it's funny. When we first started talking to them, about coming on, and then we spoke to her, I warned her about 50 times. Jennifer will attest to this. I kept saying, this is a very light, lively show. We like to have fun in this show, so be prepared. This is not your typical radio show. And she's like, okay, I can handle it. And she did.
She passed. I think she would have liked to smack me when I was trying to do the accent, but she can't because I'm in Phoenix. Ha!
That's funny.
Good times.
They do have great fans. They do have great coverage there. Appreciate it.
I did see that How to Succeed at Prelim, and I'm like, I think those people are succeeding. If you're competing prelim in Europe, you are succeeding. However, those of us that have to go out and do beginner novice for the first time that are scared on a green horse, yeah, we need that one. How to take your green horse beginner novice for the first time. I'm going to suggest that online right now.
Can I please get How to Succeed at Ground Poles? Can I get that one?
How to Trot Poles.
Yeah. I don't even care if I'm trotting them. I can be walking. Just how to succeed.
How to keep my horse from tripping over trot poles.
Yeah.
While walking. That's a whole big, yeah, we could film that one, Jen. We could do that one.
We can do that one. Okay.
Okay.
See, most radio shows and most TV shows, they want to have the best of the best on. Here at the Horse Radio Network, us hosts, we worry about the basics that everyday people worry about. How to walk over a trot pole. We're not at the level we're jumping 4 feet. We're just trying to live through the ride. That's what we do here at the Horse Radio Network.
Amen, brother. Yeah. If I was a big, tough, fancy rider, I'd be like, oh, yeah, we're just going to do beginner novice once, and then we'll move up from there, and then I'll be going training by the fall. Whatever. I hope to make it through my first beginner novice, and I'll probably do 10.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Did you get that little GPS tracker that Robert sent you for cross country, by the way?
He should send me one, and then he can keep track of me because nobody else cares.
Hey, we should have asked her about a story we didn't get to yesterday about the big balls. We should have asked her about that.
Well,
the controversy
gonna be on
that's
next
going
week.
On.
I'm going to write that down.
Yeah,
you know,
do
I
that.
Think. You know, we're going to have to talk to her about the big balls because that's a big controversy going on in England right now, and it's a little weird and crazy. So we'll ask her about that next week.
If any of you are currently uncomfortable with Glenn currently and over saying big balls, just tune in next Tuesday. We'll explain why he keeps talking about big balls and controversy.
Yeah. And I appreciate also, I wanted to give a thank you to Dawn, who posted the race of Black Caviar, TJ Smith Stakes race. She posted that on there. What I thought was funny about that video, you can actually find a better video, I think, on YouTube. What was funny about that video was it was somebody filming their TV. So, and then they posted it on YouTube. And you see the camera moving and everything, and you can barely hear the announcer and stuff like that. But there is a better one on YouTube. You can just search for Black Caviar, and you're going to come up with that stakes race. But it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Black caviar. We should talk to our Australian listeners about black caviar. They've got to call in and tell us. I think she's won like 10 in a row, 11 in a row. She is the current new Zenyatta. So does black caviar have a Facebook page, you think? I'm going to look right now.
I don't think so. I think I looked yesterday and couldn't find it. I did want to tell you that. Really?
I don't know if it's her official page, but 840 people like black caviar. Awesome.
Oh yeah, that. The rider list came out for Rolex, so that's official now, and that's been posted, so you can find that. And I did notice that Hamish of Hamish and Dave, are speaking of our Australian friends, is listed on there with his horse, so I'm going to try and get a hold of him and see if we can get him on before he makes his trek to the United States.
Oh, that'd be great.
So we'll try and get him on as well. Of course, Hamish and Dave were well known for their funny videos they did during the World Equestrian Games, and we've had him here on the show before as well. So I think that's going to about wrap it up for today. We appreciate everybody listening in from around the world, no matter what country you listen in. Let me just take a look here. Give me a second here, Jamie. While we're talking about it, I thought there was another thing. I'm pulling up the list right now. There was another interesting thing about the list of countries that I wanted to acknowledge because I thought it was a little strange and a little interesting at the same time. Let's go by country. So this was the list, United States, Australia, Canada, for our show here. United Kingdom, New Zealand was there, Sweden. We have a lot of Swedish listeners, but we do that. Here is a surprising one in the top 10. Actually, two surprising ones. Kuwait.
What?
I know. And also China. China ranks up on the list. Actually, China is number 3 for Stable Scoop. We have more listeners in China than we even do England on the Stable Scoop show. And then Ireland and the European Union. And then Malta, our Malta listeners.
Yay, so. Malta.
I'm going to stop embarrassing our country. I didn't realize that we had so many international listeners, and I think I'm embarrassing the United States by doing accents and everything, so I think I need to put an end to it.
Can you please give us your Maltese accent?
It sounds a lot like my Australian accent, I'm not going to lie. They kind of all sound like my Australian accent.
You know, it is interesting because we sit here and we're in the United States, and obviously we're United States-centered, but we sometimes forget how many listeners we have from around the world. About 25% of our listeners now are from outside the United States. So
that is it called Maltese?
I don't like the dog. Know. Like the Falcon? Is there a Maltese Falcon, too?
There is a
that
Maltese
That was
Falcon.
A Pink Panther movie.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
Chad just said they're Maltians. Maltians.
Nuh-uh.
I think he's making that up. I think he was too.
Well, of course, for everybody that does listen, you can catch us at all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com. Right after this one, I'll be recording a new do Tack and Habit show with Helena B., and that'll be live later today along with the Western Radio Show. You can also follow us on Facebook, as we said, at Horses in the Morning. We appreciate it. We're trying to get over 2,200 listeners and fans over there, so please follow us there. And you can find out about all the shows and what's happening here on Twitter at Horse Radio.
And if you miss a live show, you listen to the recorded version on our website, our affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode. So we'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody from around the world. Please ride carefully and wear your helmet.